the Memorare. Remember, O most gracious Virgin Mary, that never was it known that anyone who fled to your protection, implored your help, or sought your intercession was left unaided. Inspired by this confidence, I fly to you, O Virgin of Virgins, my Mother. To you I come, before you I stand, sinful and sorrowful. O Mother of the Word Incarnate, despise not my petitions, but in your mercy, hear and answer me. Amen.
All across the Gulf South,
it's 7 a.m.
Time to wake up
on Catholic Community Radio.
Good morning. You're listening to Wake Up on this beautiful Thursday morning. We're so glad to have you with us today. I'm Gabby Smith, along with Damian Collado and Alicia Quipido and Josie Duke in our Baton Rouge studio. Hey, guys.
Good morning.
We have a full house.
That's right. It's official sign of summer when Josie Duke is here.
Yes,
I mean, school's out for summer. I won't sing it. Instead, let's pray. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Of God, who surround us with protection through the glorious confession of the martyrs, St. Marcellinus and Peter, grant that we may profit by imitating them and be upheld by their prayer. Through our Lord Jesus Christ, your Son, who lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, God, forever and ever. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
In the name of the Father, Amen. And the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Saints Marcellinus and Peter, pray for us.
Pray for us. Like I said earlier, Josie Duke, she is a teacher over at St. George School in Baton Rouge. Go Dragons, Josie. And she's going to join us. You guys always beat us at volleyball. I went to Our Lady of Mercy in Baton Rouge, and we would always cringe every time we played you guys in volleyball because you guys always won. You had a good team.
Our girls are very good. Thank you.
She joins us today. She's going to give us her gospel reflection in just a few moments, and she will also be discussing Pentecost as we near that Pentecost weekend. So stay tuned for that. Dr. Brian Cruz joins us. He is a medical director of PACE New Orleans, which is a program of all-inclusive care for the elderly in Greater New Orleans. And we're going to talk about the importance of this program. Every so often, we have someone from PACE New Orleans join us just to give an update of what they do, just in case you kind of missed that interview, because this is a great program. It was really great during the pandemic as well. So we're going to continue this discussion with Dr. Cruz. And author Anthony DiStefano joins us once again. He has a book called How Angels Got Their Wings. I love this. So we'll be talking to Anthony. I would say maybe 2 to 3 times a year, he comes out with a really great book and we have to have him on. He's a great interview. So Damian, it's going to be a great show today with great guests.
Looking
I'm excited
to hearing about how angels got their wings.
Right.
So we'll be talking to Antonio in a little bit. In the meantime, we're going to have a mixture of clouds and sunshine for the day, pretty much like we had yesterday. And it's going to be that way again tomorrow. So that's what you can expect as we approach summer. High is going to be 91, low 70. Tomorrow, pretty much the same thing as I said. Saturday is going to be our best day when it comes to the weekend. So if you're planning any outdoor activities, that'd be the day to do it. Temperatures in and around the area, the hot spot, New Orleans, already 79 degrees. Elsewhere, home at Thibodeau and North Shore, it's 74. In Bay St. Louis, it's 76. And in the capital city, Baton Rouge, 72 degrees. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so y'all awesome. Got some big plans for the weekend coming up? Anybody? Josie, no. You're out of school?
Yes.
Yeah, but
plan.
That's it?
And no, yes. I have a plan. Yes. I'm still catching up on my sleep. So,
yes,
yeah, I'm
okay.
I'm
and she was here bright and early.
And Gabby, you just got back from a trip. So how was that, by the way?
Yes. It's incredible. We went to Cocoa Beach to visit my husband's grandfather, and it's always a great time just chill and relaxing and hanging out with a bunch of wonderful retired people who just love life, and every day is Saturday. So I just love it.
Oldies but goodies, Cocoa Beach. That's I dream of Jeannie, right?
Yeah. Did you see Jeannie? Yes, it is. And the house is still there.
Yeah.
Oh, no. Yes, they do. And you can see it. Yeah. I love that place.
That brings me back.
Yeah.
Tony Nelson.
Yeah, put that on my go-to list eventually. Yeah, well, when I get a little older, she said there's a lot of old people there. So
Youthful.
Go away. We have your gospel in reflection, and Josie's going to enlighten us a little bit about that. So stick around. It's Fire on Wake Up.
A good Thursday to you. I'm Father Chris Decker with today's Gospel. Lifting up his eyes to heaven, Jesus prayed, saying, I pray not only for these, but also for those who will believe in me through their word, so that they may all be one, as you, Father, are in me and I in you, that they also may be in us, that the world may believe that you sent me. And I have given them the glory you gave me, so that they may be one as we are one, I in them and you in me, that they may be brought to perfection as one, that the world may know that you sent me, and that you loved them even as you loved me. Father, they are your gift to me. I wish that where I am they also may be with me, that they may see my glory that you gave me, because you loved me before the foundation of the world. Righteous Father, the world also does not know you, but I know you, and they know that you sent me. I made known to them your name, and I will make it known, that the love with which you loved me may be in them, and I in them. We've heard the Gospel, and now we reflect.
Jesus prays that we may come to share in the mystery of his oneness with the Father. Even as thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee, that they also may be in us, so that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. When the unity among Christians is lacking, as it is today, we see the awful consequences, an anemic and muddled message to the world. Restoring unity to Christ's church is a daunting challenge. Many of us have suffered the pain when family members wander off from the truth. St. John Paul the Great gave us an enduring legacy of ecumenical dialogue and Christian unity. He met with virtually every leader of every religion in the world with love, but without compromising the truth. And reaching out to those of other faiths, there are two extremes to avoid. The first is judgmentalism. Jesus warned us, judge not that you will not be judged. Now, this is a favorite verse from those who promote moral relativism. In fact, it's probably the only verse they know. Yes, we cannot and should not judge the state of anyone's soul, but we should and must judge behaviors that are evil. In discussing religion, it is easy to fall in contentiousness. I speak from my own failed experience because I can recall on at least two occasions when I blew it. Here, I'm reminded of the hypocrite who once said, I realize that no one will be saved, but, of course, for you and me. Come to think of it, sometimes I wonder about you. Indifferentism is the opposite extreme to be avoided. Indifferentism buys into the nonsense that whatever one chooses to believe is fine, because, after all, one religion is just as good as another. It is surprising how many people believe this foolishness. After all, if one religion were as good as another, no religion would be good for anything, because they would just be a collection of irresolvable contradictions and disagreements. We must begin by understanding our faith so we can explain it clearly and accurately. Then we can speak the truth in love, especially in our behavior. Have a wonderful day. This is Jimmy Sagers.
Thank you, Jimmy Sagers and Father Chris Decker for this morning's Gospel and Gospel Reflection. It's 12 minutes after the hour on Wake Up. Josie Duke, educator with the Diocese of Baton Rouge and at St. George Catholic School in Baton Rouge, joins us. Good morning.
Good morning. This is such a beautiful gospel. So it's just so rich. So let's take it from the beginning. Okay, so Jesus lifts his eyes to heaven and prays, I pray not only for these, but also for those who will believe in me through their word. So let me ask you a question. How does it feel knowing that Jesus prayed for you at this very moment? Because that's who he was praying for. Mm-hmm. He was, and not just you in the collective, not just humanity in the collective. When he prays for you specifically as an individual. So he's praying for all of his believers in every age in the future, which includes all of us at this very moment. And it just kind of, it's a little humbling. Mm-hmm. Actually, it's a lot humbling. Mm-hmm. You know, when we talk about Jesus' death on the cross and how he died for mankind, yes, that's true. But he had your face mm-hmm. on his mind. It wasn't like he just died for a collective. Mm-hmm. He died for every single individual who ever lived or was going to live. So that includes us. So Jesus here, of course, is praying that we may all be one, and says, he prays that the world may believe that you sent me. Okay, he's praying for several things here. He's speaking of a unity that's not only spiritual, but also visible to the entire world. And where do we see a religious organization that is visible to the entire world through its unity? And that's the Catholic Church. Mm-hmm. So it's not mm-hmm. only a spiritual unity through our sacraments, of course, through his death on the cross, but it's also hierarchical in nature, right? It's a visible governing body. Mm-hmm. And that is, whether you agree with the teachings of the Church or not, you cannot deny that there is an organizational structure with the Pope mm-hmm. as its head, and the bishops, the archbishop, and all the way down to us, right? So he's praying for several things here at the same time. Spiritual unity, of course, because as Jimmy mentioned, you know, this fractiousness that we have within Christianity is probably our biggest scandal. Mm-hmm. And so he's praying for unity. And he's done that more than once in the gospel passages. And so he says, now I am no more in the world, but they are in the world, and I'm coming to you. So yesterday, I believe it was, you know, he's talking about how I'm not going to take them out of the world. Mm-hmm. Okay, he's not going to shield us in some rapture where everybody else fights it out and we're in some paradise while all of this is happening. No, we're here. Mm-hmm. So we're in the world, but not of it.
Of the world.
And so, as St. Paul says, so, yeah, we're going to come up against strife. I mean, just turn on the news.
Exactly.
I mean, right. I'd really rather not, but, you know, we have to be informed,
but
right?
We're in a spiritual battle.
Yeah, yeah.
Correct.
And now
yeah.
more than ever, we mm-hmm. need to turn to Christ and to mm-hmm. God.
Correct.
And you're nailing it.
Correct.
Joseph.
Well, mm-hmm. and here's the thing. This is, I'm hoping I have time, that the very first reading comes from Acts chapter 22, where Paul is taken before the Sanhedrin to defend himself because of the hope that he has in the resurrection of Jesus, right? So he's got to defend himself against the Sanhedrin, and what does Jesus say? You have to go defend me in Rome. Isn't that where we are? In
yes.
pagan Rome?
Yeah.
Defend
oh.
me in Rome.
Yes.
That's what we have to do.
Thank you so much, Josie. Stick around. Our saint of the day is next. It is 15 minutes after the hour on Wake Up.
This is Franciscan Media's Saint of the Day for June 2nd. Today we celebrate Saints Marcellinus and Peter. Little is known about today's saints, but they were considered important enough to be included among the saints listed in the oldest Eucharistic prayer. In the 4th century, Marcellinus was a prominent Roman priest, while Peter was an exorcist, authorized by the Church to deal with cases of demonic possession. Both men were beheaded in the year 304, during the persecution of the Emperor Diocletian. Pope Damasus wrote an epitaph, apparently taken from the report of their executioner, and Emperor Constantine built a basilica over the crypt in which they were buried in Rome. Why are these men included in our Eucharistic prayer and given their own feast day when so little is known about them? Probably because the Church respects its early collective memory. These two martyrs once sent an impulse of encouragement through the whole Church. They made the ultimate act of faith. The Church has always believed that the apostles and the martyrs who shed their blood are joined closely to Christ and through Christ to us. There's more about the saints along with inspiration and Catholic resources at our website, saintoftheday.org. From Franciscan Media, this has been Saint of the Day.
It is 19 minutes past the hour on Wake Up. up. You're listening to Catholic Community Radio on this beautiful Thursday morning. I'm Gabby Smith, along with Alicia Cribido, Damian Collado, Josie Duke joins us in our Baton Rouge studio. Our next guest this morning is Dr. Brian Cruz. He's a medical director of PACE New Orleans, an affiliated ministry of Catholic Charities of the Archdiocese of New Orleans. And PACE is a wonderful program, stands for the Program of All-Inclusive Care for the Elderly in Greater New Orleans. Good morning, Dr. Cruz.
Good morning, Gabby.
It's so good to have you with us today. We've talked a lot about PACE on Wake Up, and I'm always curious to see who hasn't heard of it, because we've talked about it a lot, especially during the peak of the pandemic. But please share with our listeners, for those who aren't familiar with PACE, exactly what it is.
Absolutely. Thank you very much for the introduction. I'd like to emphasize that we are a program of all-inclusive care for the elderly. What that means is we're a comprehensive health care service for adults who are 55 and older, who qualify financially, and who have either physical or mental health needs that require therapy, treatment, or some other kind of daily assistance. Because of these health needs, this person otherwise might need to be in a long-term care facility or a nursing home. However, our PACE participants still live in their own homes or with relatives working to age in place in their community, and we're able to really help accomplish that through a very holistic health care plan that we do as an interdisciplinary team, bringing services to them and to their families that include not just physician care, but also making sure that we're providing medications, any needed rehabilitative therapy, nutrition counseling, pastoral care, and transportation to appointments as well. We also find that it's very important for our participants to have opportunities to really socialize and interact and be able to participate in activities. Mm-hmm. So we run two adult day health centers, one in New Orleans on the East Bank and another one over on the West Bank.
That's great. So you actually mentioned one phrase or group of words that really stuck out to me was holistic healthcare. What exactly do you mean by that?
Yeah, we really appreciate that to talk about someone's health and really keep someone healthy, especially when they have a lot of health needs, means monitoring all aspects of their health, but really understanding that as it relates to the whole person. So not just are we prescribing them medications, but are they able to take the medications as prescribed? Are there any problems with that? And even beyond that, do they have enough to eat? Are they getting regular nutrition? Are they suffering from depression or really other problems that are going on in their families or in their communities that are impacting their health? And we really try to take all this information in when we're thinking about our participants. We also know that our participants who are 55 and older often have multiple medical conditions. And so we have to factor in all those different conditions when we're doing diagnoses and determining treatment, and really also listening to our participants to make sure that we understand the kinds of care that they want, the kinds of care that they don't want, so that we can be respectful of that as we're putting a plan in place. And I should also say, like I mentioned, as an interdisciplinary team, part of what helps us be holistic is that each morning our entire team comes together to talk about what's going on and share input. And when a participant comes up, we get to hear from the dietitian to tell us what she's noticing. A nurse may bring up something that the participant spoke with them. Our social worker can say what conversations they've been having with the family. And really, by sharing all these together in real time in a group, we get a real comprehensive view of our participants, which really allows us to deliver that holistic care that we really strive for.
That's great. Does this go hand in hand with the Food for Seniors program as well? Because that was such a great program that we loved talking about, especially within the last 2 years.
So we work to coordinate, really, we try to be creative for any problems that we have. So we will try to coordinate with our participants in working for the Food for Seniors program. We're not directly affiliated with them, but certainly if that is a resource that our participants can take advantage of, we will coordinate with that. We've worked on navigating ways to find frozen meals to deliver to participants when needed. really working to take every participant and every situation on a case-by-case basis and really trying to figure out how we can help.
Dr. Cruz, great. Real quick, how many participants do you have in the program?
Yes, that's an excellent question. Currently, we have 150 participants total between our two centers, one on the East Bank and one on the West Bank. And honestly, we're looking to really grow our program. We're looking to bring more participants in. We think we have a lot of services that people can really benefit from. And so we really want to make sure that people do know about us and people who are interested know to be able to reach out to us so we can talk with them about what we offer.
Well, that goes with my next question, kind of goes with Damien's question that he just asked. How does one maybe get more information, or what are the qualifications for maybe a family member who might benefit from this organization, this ministry?
Yeah, that's a wonderful question. So again, our participants are 55 and older. There are certain, usually again, the mental and physical health needs they have are significant enough that many of them may actually qualify for nursing home placement or other long-term care facility. And then also, so, again, but not everybody is either in the nursing home or they're working to stay in place in the community. So what we do is we encourage people to call and work with our intake coordinator. The requirements for being in the program, we coordinate with the state. We help facilitate that. We can coordinate with Centers for Medicare and Medicaid in terms of making sure that we're able to provide services. So I encourage people, when they're interested in finding out about our program, to reach out to us on our website. We are at pacegno.org, or to call us on the phone. We are at 504-835-0006. And again, that's for potential participants who are adults 55 and older who are interested in learning about our program. Or also, if you're a caregiver and working with somebody and finding that maybe some extra support would be of benefit, we would definitely encourage people to look at our program and reach out. Again, at the website, pacegno.org, or that 504-835-0006.
Yeah, Dr. Cruz, it sounds very rewarding because you mentioned caregivers. Quite often, their respite care needs to take place because the day-to-day activities for that caregiver, by having your organization in place, I'm sure that is beneficial in that regard, right?
Yeah.
It is very beneficial, and many of our caregivers find that that is very helpful for them in helping care for some of their loved ones, some of the participants who, again, because of things that are going on with their mental or physical health, it would be hard or challenging for them to stay at home for a long period of time while a caregiver might need to, you know, go out to an event or do some kind of work. We work to provide transportation for our participants to come to our day centers. Again, we have the one on the East Bank, one on the West Bank. And here at the day center, we have, you know, our team that is here to check in on how they're doing. We provide a light breakfast for the participants when they get in. We make sure to provide lunch for them as well while they're here, and really work to encourage socialization and activities and work with our recreation team to find things that our participants can do to enjoy their day while they're here with us and while we get to see them.
I love that. Okay, Dr. Cruz, PACE recently had two big birthday celebrations. Tell us about these two milestone events.
Yes, this was wonderful. Two of our participants, Mrs. Dorothy Booker and Mrs. Mabel Beasley, each turned 101 years old just this year. Just one was had a birthday in April, one had a birthday in May, and both have been PACE clients for many years. We've worked with them and with their families. So we were really excited as a team to be able to acknowledge these birthdays. So we had birthday parties for them and for their families, one at the East Bank Center where Ms. Booker is, one at the West Bank Center for Mrs. Beasley, and really just had a chance to celebrate them, celebrate their lives, celebrate with their families, and just have a wonderful experience with them. It happened that these birthdays coincided with Older Americans Month, and we are very big proponents of older Americans, and so this it just felt such a wonderful blessing to be able to do this and celebrate together, and you know, just a wonderful I think a way to highlight, you know, what we try to do in terms of really helping our participants and their families continue to be as healthy as possible for as long as possible and to really celebrate them along that journey.
My goodness, can you imagine sitting down with them and just hearing how their life, the last 100 years?
Yeah, I'd like
you know, my grandfather is about to turn 96, and I just love hearing his stories on World War II.
I'd like to hear what they attribute their longevity to.
Right?
And you know what? Some say, oh, a Coke a day, you know, drinking Coke, soda. It's just like, and it's like, whoa, you know?
Well, living in New Orleans, you may not want to drink the water, and you can hang around a lot.
Oh, my goodness. Dr. Cruz, we have about 30 seconds. Tell us one more time how we can get in contact with you and find out more about PACE New Orleans.
Absolutely. Again, we're a program of all-inclusive care for the elderly in Greater New Orleans. So anyone who is 55 or older or a caregiver working with a patient who is 55 and older, please reach out to us if you're interested. We'd love to be able to be of service. We're at pacegno.org or we're at 504-835-0006.
Great. Dr. Brian Cruz, Medical Director of PACE New Orleans, thank you so much for joining us today.
Absolutely. Thank you, Gabby.
Don't go away. We're coming back with more here on Wake Up.
This is Life News Radio. I'm Jim Anderson. U.S. Marshals at the Supreme Court remain tight-lipped about internal investigations into the leak of an illicit early draft of Justice Samuel Alito's Dobbs v. Jackson opinion. The document shows early support for overturning Roe v. Wade and returning legal jurisdiction for abortion to the states. Legacy media outlets criticize the investigations as unprecedented. Yet that matches the unprecedented nature of leaked documents at the high court. City leaders in Austin, Texas, anticipating Roe v. Wade to be overturned, are preparing to try their hand at decriminalizing abortions. Because such crimes are usually the purview of states' statutes, the city is crafting alternative means. Austin wants to restrict city funds from investigating abortion crimes and make abortion-related investigations the lowest priority for city police. This is Life News Radio. Persecution around the world has manifested itself through the centuries, but it is worse today than ever before. Aid to the Church in Need and its donors have been there to help since 1947, never abandoning the church or her most vulnerable children. Will you stand up for your faith and accompany our brothers and sisters on their spiritual journey? Visit churchinneed.org. churchinneed.org. In other stories, of all U.S. bishops, the Vatican has tapped one to become a new cardinal. Cardinal-designate Bishop Robert McElroy has opposed denying communion to abortion-friendly politicians. Abortion-friendly news anchors are suggesting that red states that may ban or restrict abortions are not prepared for a post-Roe baby boom. Pro-life demographers counter such contentions, saying that a healthy birth rate is good news for local economies. For pro-life headlines delivered to your email address daily, sign up at lifenews.com. This has been Life News Radio.
Good morning. It's 35 minutes past the hour on Wake Up. I'm Alicia Quibido with Gabby Smith and Damian Collado, and we are thrilled to have our friend Josie Duke joining us. Josie is an educator with the Diocese of Baton Rouge and a teacher at St. George Catholic School in Baton Rouge. Welcome again, Josie.
Well, thank you so much. Thank you.
So as a church, we are gearing up for this weekend.
Yes.
It's a big one, right? We all wear red.
Yes, ladies, get your red out. No,
that's right.
I mean, yes, that's part of it. But, you know, honestly, this day is so important. I think it's really underestimated how important a celebration this really is. It has been said before that it is the birthday of the church, and that is absolutely true. But, you know, that there's just so much more that goes into it. So we'll go ahead and get started because I'm not sure 10 minutes is going to be.
Yeah, you may run out of time.
We're going to hang on. You roll.
That's okay. Okay, so whenever we think about Pentecost, of course, we think about the descent of the Holy Spirit upon the apostles in the upper room, and we think about the gifts of the Spirit and the fruits of the Spirit, and we hear those terms a lot. We may even know what the gifts and the fruits of the Spirit are. But biblically, there is a place for them. They do come from some place in Scripture. So the fruits of the Spirit, if you really want the list, Galatians 5, verses 22 through 23, and they give you the fruits of the Spirit. And for those of you who are praying the Holy Spirit novena over the last few days, you know, love, joy, peace, patience, gentleness, kindness, generosity, faithfulness, self-control, right? Those are the fruits of the Spirit. And if you heard that list right now, you might be thinking, ooh, I need some more of that. And that's the beauty of the Holy Spirit, is he speaks to each one of us in a very specific, very individual way. So while somebody might need self-control, you might need more patience, right? And so this is the gift of the Holy Spirit, that he loves us so much that he's willing to work with us as individuals and bring us closer to him. The gifts of the Holy Spirit we actually find in Isaiah. Chapter 11, verses 2 through 3. And in that chapter, he's talking about the ideal Davidic king. And so who's the ideal Davidic king, of course, but our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So, you know, fortitude and understanding and wisdom and knowledge and all of these beautiful things. So these are the gifts of the Holy Spirit. So on Pentecost Sunday, this coming Sunday, we read in the Acts of the Apostles again, chapter 2, when the time for Pentecost was fulfilled, they were all in one place together. Now, okay, we got to take a look at the very first line, because I think sometimes the very first line is kind of,
okay. Pushed over, yeah.
It's kind of pushed over because we think we know what it means. There was actually an ancient Jewish feast of Pentecost, and this is the Pentecost that was the time was fulfilled. So in ancient Judaism, they had a Feast of Weeks, and you can go to two different places, right. Leviticus 23, and Deuteronomy 16, where the Lord gives specific instructions that for 7 weeks you will count the days, you will count the weeks, and it was a festival to give thanks to God for the harvest. It was a harvest festival to give him thanks for the first fruits. Well, what are we doing at the Feast of Pentecost? We're giving God thanks for the first fruits of his love, which is Christ, right, and his Spirit. So we are celebrating the first fruits of our Lord. So that is, they're all in one place. They're gathered in the upper room, and there suddenly came from the sky a noise like a strong driving wind. So I keep telling my students, everything starts where? At the beginning, right? And in our case, the beginning is Genesis. If you don't get Genesis right, you don't get anything else right, really. So we go back to Genesis 1, right? And what do we read in Genesis 1? In the beginning, when God created the heavens, then the earth, and the earth was formless and void, and there was a mighty darkness swept over the abyss, and a mighty wind swept over the waters. Well, that was not a meteorological event. Oh, that's beautiful, Damien. Thank you.
We don't have Jeff here today.
Sound effects. That was not a meteorological event, right? That was the Holy Spirit.
It was the Holy Spirit
spreading his life across the entire cosmos. That's what he was doing. And so all of creation at the very beginning is recalled as they're waiting in the upper room. We go back to Genesis and the life that is given to the planet, to the cosmos. Well, they're getting a new life too, right? Yes, through God's grace, they were able to preach and teach and heal. But now, have you ever had that moment where students sit in class, or maybe even you hear a joke or something, and you're like, oh, I get it now, right?
Yes.
And, okay, you have that aha moment,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, the delayed reaction.
The delayed reaction, right?
That happens to me with his joke.
Well, this is what they went through. They're in the upper room, and they're like, oh, that's why he said that. It makes total sense, right? Yes. Okay, and so you might think, well, geez, guys, come on. You didn't get that? Well, 2,000 years of hindsight gives us a little bit of an advantage, right. So we have to not judge them so harshly, right? So the Holy Spirit comes upon them, upon Blessed Mother, upon Mary Magdalene, and a few select others, and they get the grace that they need to leave the room.
Yeah.
And go.
And the courage.
Right.
And overcome the fear once and for all.
Right. Now, Our Lady was already filled with grace. Right. So it's not like she needed more, but she gratefully accepted it because now she's mother, not just to the apostles, but to the entire church.
Yeah. Right.
So, you know, that strength is continually in her. So the Holy Spirit renews the face of the earth as we pray in that beautiful prayer, but he renews our lives every single day. But here's the catch. We have to let him. He's not going to violate our free will and say, you need this. You need gentleness. He knows that. And we know that. But if we're not willing to work for it, it's not going to happen. So we have to be willing to turn over our lives. And you can hear him in your life. You know, so many people say, oh, I wish I could hear God. You can. Mm-hmm. He talks to you all the time. But if you're so busy scrolling on your phone that you can't hear him, what good is that going
to
do you?
Or talking to him, telling him what you need him to do.
Exactly.
Right? Yeah. Exactly.
Right. It's like, Lord, I need this. He's like, yeah, you need this more over here. I'll wait.
Yeah.
You know, like every teacher does, I'll wait. Mm-hmm. You know, everybody's kind of chit-chat. I'll wait. And then, okay. Well, wait for the Lord, right? Wait. He wants to do so many great and beautiful things in your soul, but he's not going to violate your free will to do it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You have to let him.
Yeah.
So the Holy Spirit fills the entire house. Tongues of flame appear upon their heads, and they all begin to speak in different tongues. And at this point, they leave the upper room, and they go preach, which is what we're all called to do, right? Mm-hmm. To leave the quiet of our little abode, of our little room, the safety of our bubble, and go preach, to go defend him in Rome, right? And so here we have Peter and the apostles speaking to the crowds, and they were all of mixed origin, Greeks, Medes, Persians. They were from all over the world. They didn't speak Peter's language. Peter spoke, you know, Aramaic, and they were speaking all these different tongues. But what do you have? You have everybody going, wait a minute, how is it possible that we understand him? We're all different. And they're looking around going, but we're all different people. I mean, how is this possible? Well, what you have here is actually a reversal. We go back to Genesis again, to the Tower of Babel. So what happens at the Tower of Babel, right? You've got people who are puffed up with their pride, and they're going to build a tower to reach the heavens, right? To make a name for themselves, which is what they said. If you go back to Genesis and read, they wanted to make a name for themselves. They were puffed up with pride. So what does God do? He confuses their language. And the project has to stop because now I don't understand what you're saying. You don't understand what I'm saying. Now suspicion is built in. Now I'm going to go gravitate to the people I get. And so now the people begin to spread out over the face of the earth, which is what he wanted them to do to begin with. He's like, look, I do good work. It's beautiful, isn't it? And it's free. Go get it. It's all yours. It's free. Just go, you know, go take as much as you want. And they're like, oh, no. What if somebody attacks us? What, you know, and they're filled with fear. Well, you know that if you're filled with a spirit of fear, it's not of him.
Right.
It's the evil one. If you're discerning something and you're filled with fear or anxiety, ask yourself why. It's not from him. Maybe it is a good thing that God wants you to do, and the evil one's trying to pull you away from it. Right? So he fills you with all these negative thoughts, and he's like, you don't really want to do that, do you? Sometimes it's because maybe it isn't from God, and he doesn't want you to do that. You want to do that, and he's trying to tell you, sweetie, it's not going to work. And that's why you get these feelings. So, you know, we have this beautiful image of the apostles being able to hear all these beautiful voices. And so it really is coming full circle. It only took a few thousand years to do. So now what we need to do is leave our rooms and go spread the good word. And sometimes that's just by living your life. You don't have to go preach on the street corner.
Be a good example.
Be a good example. Right. That's first and foremost. That's what people are going to gravitate to first.
Right. If you want to hear more from Josie Duke, check out diobr.org/Matt for the summer Matt classes. Thank you so much.
Good morning again. Happy Thursday to each and every one of you. Thanks for joining us on Wake Up. Damian Colado, along with Gabby Smith, Elise Quibido, and in-studio guest Josie Duke. And at this time, Anthony DeStefano, author and number of books for adults and children. He's also the host of a mini-series on television called Travel Guide to Heaven. He is here with us this morning on Wake Up to talk about his newest book, How the Angels Got Their Wings. Antonio, good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
Always good to talk to a paisan. And
that's right.
Want to start out right away with, one, I think this is a great book. We'll delve into it in some of the questions I have. But do you, what, as far as parents and children alike, what do you want them to glean from this particular book about angels?
Well, the main thing I want them to get from this book is that angels are real. They're not cartoon. They're not make-believe. They're not like the superheroes they see on TV. You know, they're as real as you and me. The second thing is, my hope is that when children read this story, they'll be comforted in the knowledge that they're not ever alone in life. You know, not only do they have God and Our Lady and the other saints in heaven to help them, but they also have these marvelous, powerful spiritual creatures known as angels that they can call on for divine assistance at any time. And that's really the reason why I wrote the book. You know, we want to help our children. And angels can help them.
And it's so overlooked. I'm telling you, when it comes to guardian angels, I did not even realize I really had a guardian angel till I was in my early 20s.
Really?
And I'm going like, wait a minute, I know you say the guardian angel prayer, but Anthony's right. It's almost like a fairy tale. Oh, yeah.
Yes.
But they are as real as can be, and I talk to my guardian angel all the time.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yes.
I bet you do. I bet you do.
You know, Jesus says in the scriptures clearly, you know, do not despise these little ones. He's talking about children, because their angels in heaven always look upon the face of my Father in heaven. So he said it, and angels throughout the Bible, from the beginning to the end. And you know, if God gives us angels to help us out, then there's a reason why. That means we need them. So there's a lot of forces that we're going against, a lot of problems. This is a difficult life that we're all leading, and we need the help of angels.
And you talk about that. Not only do you have on the cover St. Michael, St. Gabriel, and St. Raphael, but you also talk about that evil angel in the book.
I do. I don't shy away from, you know, that's a big part of the story of the angels, is the fall of the angels, the fall of Satan and the rebel angels known as demons. And we can't ignore that part of the story, because it's there is evil in the world. We, you know, not everybody is good. People turn bad. They do all kinds of bad things. And children need to know that, because they're going to be facing evil, number one. And number two, they could become bad themselves. You know, so I tried not to do it, and I tried not to show the devil in too much of a scary way. Mm-hmm. I try to use the old Disney principle, like they use in the old classic movies like Snow White, where we show the devil, but we don't make him as overpowering as the Saint Michael and the other archangels, and we show that he can be defeated by the powers of good.
Amen to that. And for those of you who aren't familiar with Anthony DeStefano's work, he's written children's books entitled Joseph's Donkey. Great story. I advise you to get it. Our Lady's Wardrobe, and also The Miracle of the Bread, the Fish, and the Boy. Again, good children's stories, very poetic. How did it take you a while to write this particular book?
You know, it always takes a long time to come up with an original idea. That's the thing that's hardest when it comes to, you know, writing adult books are actually harder to write themselves. You know, it's like sometimes using dynamite to blow the stone out of a quarry. It's very hard to write, you know, long books, a lot of research involved. It's easier to write children's books, but it's harder to come up with an original idea. And the idea for this book, you know, came from that movie, It's a Wonderful Life, that everybody knows. You know, there's a famous line in that movie that says, you know, every time a bell rings, an angel gets his wings. And of course, that's not theologically accurate, but it gave me the idea that maybe we should tell a story of how the angels got their wings, because people are so interested in stories.
Touch on a little bit about the book, how it starts and how it finishes. It's, I believe, 33 pages total.
Standard 32-page children's book. You know, it's meant to be a short but comprehensive, compelling introduction to the story of the angels, who, as I said before, are pure spiritual beings that have extraordinary power and who are made by God to assist him in carrying out their will. So the book introduces the children to all the famous archangels, St. Michael, Gabriel, Raphael, as well as to Satan, as we said before, the ringleader of the demons. It also introduces children to those special angels who are here with us right now, helping to protect and guide us, the guardian angels. And it shows how all these angels can help us with the problems we encounter in life, you know, from communicating with each other, to choosing between right and wrong, to helping heal us when we're sick, to even protecting us from physical harm at times.
Yeah.
So it's meant to be a general overview of this whole fascinating story.
And again, I think the sooner we can inform our children and grandchildren about guardian angels, the better, because they are spiritual beings. Mm-hmm. Yeah, they are even higher up than us humans. Mm-hmm. And so we need to call on them, not only for protection, but we could send our angels to help other people. That I don't know
true.
If y'all knew that as well.
That is true, yes.
Yeah. So who's your favorite angel, Anthony?
My angel, well, right at this moment, it's St. Gabriel, because he is the patron saint of communications. And believe it or not, it's nerve-wracking to do interviews, even with good people like you. And so he announced the birth of our Lord, and he announced the birth of John the Baptist, and he's got that horn of his. And so he's the patron saint of communications, and I need that when I want to get this message out.
And what got you started writing books for children in particular?
You know, first of all, it's fun, you know, and second of all, I have a talent for rhyming. It's a joyful thing to be able to help children. But also there's a serious aspect, and that's that I'm very well aware that we're in the middle of a culture war. Mm-hmm. There is a society out there, secular society, that does not like our values, and they do not hesitate to jump over the heads of parents with their own propaganda and try to propagandize children themselves. And I think that if you're going to be involved in spreading the faith, then you've got to start with the children, and we've got to give our parents a hand, because the society certainly is trying to go around parents and indoctrinate children with their own secular message.
Boy, we were talking about that during one of the breaks, how the spiritual battle is underway, and we need to put on the armor of God now more than ever.
That's right, and that's why St. Michael the Archangel, of course, is probably the most important angel in that regard, since he is the one in Revelation who did cast Satan down, and who can help us most in our own battle between good and evil, right and wrong, darkness and light.
Well, great. Anthony, where can they get your book?
I think pretty much everywhere. I'm very blessed. There, you know, all over the internet, EWTN, the Barnes & Noble, Priest for Life, I think pretty much every Catholic bookstores around the country.
And last but not least, the illustrator, different than some of your other books, just real 30 seconds.
Antonio Javier Caparo, a Cuban-born artist from Canada, incredible at doing panoramic, sweeping, you know, fantasy-like scenes, but at the same time, small, intimate pictures of children under Christmas trees and intense. He combines it all. It really makes the angels into superheroes, but realistic at the same time.
Yeah, great poetry by you, Anthony, and
you.
Beautiful illustration. So it's a book you'll treasure for life. Thank you for being with us on Wake Up, Buddy.
Thanks for having me.
Okay. And speaking of angels, going to wrap up with our prayer to the guardian angel.
Oh,
in the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit, amen. Angel of God, my guardian dear, to whom God's love commits me here, ever this day be at my side to light and guard, to rule and guide. Amen.
In
the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit, amen.
Amen. Thank you so much for joining us today. We'll get you back here tomorrow at 7 a.m. Central Time. Jeff Young, the Catholic Foodie, joins us. We have your Nights in the Morning, Knights of Columbus Monthly Update. Annie Phoenix talks about an event brought to you by Loyola University in New Orleans called From Prison Cell to PhD. That'll be a great one. And Father Jamin David talks about diaconate formation. Don't forget the First Friday Rosaries tomorrow at 8:05 in the morning at our Baton Rouge studio, 11924 Sunray Avenue. Have a wonderful Thursday. God bless.
Wake Up is a production of Catholic Community Radio.